We will next open up our public hearing on LD2, an act to allow military vehicles purchased for civilian uses to be registered and operated on main roads. Welcome back, Senator Libby.
Okay, Representative Crafts again, Senator Nangle, good to see you. My name is James Libby. I am a state senator for representing Senate District 22, comprised of Naples, Sebago, Baldwin, Standish, Cumberland, Hiram Porter, Limington, Limerick, Cornish, Parsonsfield, Newfield, Acton, Shapley. And it's my honor to bring to you today the LD2, an act to allow military vehicles purchased for civilian use to be registered and operate on main roads. This is going to be familiar to a lot of the members of the committee because I did bring this bill to the committee 2 years ago. And again, I think it's really important to try to save time here, maybe not read all of my testimony. I still believe, just as I did 2 years ago, that some of these military vehicles, and I have seen many 2 years ago when I offered this bill, there was a groundswell of support. I mean, I went to a whole bunch of towns in and outside of my district to see vehicles that had been kind of retrofitted for town uses, you know, hauling of water, appearing at, showing up at fires, transportation out into the wilderness, you know, you name it, but thousands of dollars into retrofitting these military vehicles, including making sure that the vehicles would pass inspection and that they were they would be fully able to traverse main roads. And I don't think anyone disagrees that they can be heavy vehicles at times, and they can certainly there are heavier vehicles out there on the road that cause wear and tear than these. But we went over a couple years ago a lot of pros and cons. I still think the pros outweigh the cons. There is a combination of people who do volunteer for the town or even paid by the town to carry out specific duties with these vehicles. But then there's also the hobbyists who have these vehicles and love putting time and money and effort into them and want to take them out on their 500 acres somewhere up in northern Maine and be able to use them off-road. And so it's getting them up there means a tow. If like going from Standish to Greenville with a tow, going to cost some money. So it is something that I'd really appreciate this committee if you would reconsider. A couple of years ago, I know some of you are brand new to the committee, and that's great. And in the past, I believe that the Secretary of State was opposed, and I definitely understand her concerns and the concerns of that department. And I'm sure that they'll bring them to you today. Last time I was here, I had pictures of some of the vehicles and that sort of thing, and I can bring that to you for work session if you want to see them. I think some of you, I bet, in your district have them. And the trouble is they actually, those folks show up at town hall and expect they're just going to be able to register the vehicle, and it's right then and there that they're told no. So it's kind of a tough scenario. I know the person behind the bill originally has a business called Black Bear Auto in Windham. And so he lives in Standish, has a business in Windham, and has owned a military vehicle that's parked out back for several years and really hasn't been able to, or hasn't wanted to tow it up to Greenville, which was the example I was using. And that's pretty much it. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Senator Farron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Libby, had this discussion in the 131st, and I'm sure we're going to regurgitate some of those same oppositions. And you're right, the people that have these vehicles are very, very passionate. I just had a gentleman from Skowhegan when I was getting my hair cut last week, letting me about it. My question to you as the bill sponsor is, other than, you know, just bringing this forward again and teeing it up, do you know if those, if interested parties have had conversations, because, you know, we hear from public safety, hear from the Secretary of State's office, condition of the roads and all those things. Have there been any discussions to try to see if there's some needle to thread other than just bringing it back to us and us making the decision?
The most, this has nothing to do with the state police or the sheriff's office or anything like that, or public safety in general. The most of the feedback I've gotten on returning with this bill is, hey, there's a cyber truck out there that wasn't there 2 years ago. And if you've seen those cyber trucks, you know what I'm talking about. They're sizable vehicles. It kind of just raises that issue again, that there are a lot of different vehicles on the road. There are some gigantic vehicles that haul hazardous chemicals. I mean, you name it. And so these are relatively harmless. That's what I'm getting for. Thank you for the question, Senator Farron.
Representative Montel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Liber,
Representative,
thank you.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Thank you for being here. My question is, this would be not only for municipal use or commercial use, but perhaps personal use as well.
I think there's probably more of the hobbyists than there are working for municipalities, but there's several even in my town. There is a vehicle that the municipality would use if they could. Town of Cornish was the most active. They had a couple, and they had somebody come up, present testimony. The fire chief last time came up, presented testimony, was disappointed with the result, like everybody is when you don't get a bill through. But I do think it's more the hobbyists who put money into it and then can't use it. I think the public purpose is fantastic. You know, it's great to have that kind of support. I mean, I represent, all of my towns are rural. I represent small rural towns. They don't have a lot of resources. I mean, you know, when I think of my district, I think of Hiram and Porter. Man, they're small. They don't have many resources. So somebody steps up to the plate and wants to offer one of these vehicles. They're like, yeah, until it's no. And that happens right in the town hall itself. That's the ironic thing.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So would you be opposed if for some reason there was sort of like a test run of certain allowances and
prepared? I would not be opposed to restrictions. I just couldn't figure out what they might be.
Okay.
I guess I'm just not I don't have the expertise in these kinds of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But I am open. You do. I'm open to whatever the committee thinks, but I do think it's a fairness issue. So, that's kind of what I'm representing, but, you know, maybe you'll get further testimony that will help you with that question. That's about all I have today.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mason.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hello, Representative Mason.
How are you doing today?
How are you?
Good. This may be something for the work session,
sure.
But do you know how wide them vehicles are?
What I have witnessed are varying widths. Yeah, but in no case have I... I mean, like some were, you know, military purposed fire trucks that no longer. So, I mean, that size is included in my testimony here and what I represent.
Okay.
Yeah. But smaller ones as well, small trucks with water cargo and other
tank retriever.
Yeah. You've seen them. I mean, they're painted up and they look nice in a parade. I think they get exceptions for a parade.
Yeah.
You have to check that as well. I can't remember the law on that.
Is that follow-up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is that something we could have for the work session, the width and maybe the weight of the different vehicles, the widest one and maybe the narrowest one, I guess?
Yes, both in state law, and I'll see if I can come up with more examples.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And perhaps also our analysts could look back at some of the information about the size, weight, and width of military vehicles.
Yeah, it's stipulated. It'd be great. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions for Senator Libby? Seeing none, thank you. Any co-sponsors? Anyone here to speak in support of LD2? Anyone here to speak in opposition? Welcome, Lieutenant Scott. Nice to have you back.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator Nangle, Representative Crafts, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Transportation. My name is Bruce Scott. I'm the Troop Commander of the Traffic Safety Unit for the Maine State Police. And I'm here to testify on behalf of the Department of Public Safety and the Maine State Police in opposition to LD2. As you know, this bill was recycled from LD 369 that was presented in the first regular session of the 131st legislature. This bill, if passed, would allow any demilitarized vehicle under 10,001 pounds to be registered and operated on a public way without any regard to the adherence of federal motor vehicle safety standards, NHTSA DOT crash testing, or EPA pollutant requirements. Some military vehicles are specifically designed for off-road use and are not safe to be introduced into the main roadways by the motoring public. Many military vehicles are much heavier and less nimble than their civilian counterparts. They are slower, they're purpose-built, generally for combat. They don't have some of the important safety features like airbags, supplemental restraint systems, anti-lock brakes, or stability control systems. They often have tires that are designed for traversing the rugged terrain that are not DOT compliant for road use. These vehicles are well suited for battle and disaster relief, so they are currently allowed to be operated in a public way if they are owned or operated by government entities like the military or law enforcement. The limited use of these vehicles for emergency operations by specially trained personnel mitigates the risk to the public, but to allow them to be operated by anyone for any purpose would certainly lead to unsafe conditions for all road users. The uniqueness of these vehicles that helps them absorb impact and blasts from intruding into the passenger compartment in combat situations creates a disadvantage in the maneuverability and crashworthiness of the vehicles. These vehicles often come between 10 to 10,000 pounds missiles on our roadways. According to the Government Accountability Office, there was 3,753 tactical vehicle accidents in non-combat operations here in the United States between 2010 and 2019. Of those crashes, there were at least 123 deaths to our service members, and nearly one-third of these crashes involved the Humvee platform. 25% of those crashes were rollovers, due to the limited overhead clearance and lack of other safety features, many military members struck their heads on the steel roofs of these vehicles, causing significant head trauma and at times death. It should also be mentioned that when these military vehicles are involved in collisions with civilian vehicles, the result can be catastrophic for the passengers in both vehicles. Many of these vehicles are structurally superior to other vehicles on the road, meaning they do become lethal weapons and cause significant damage and or injuries without sustaining much, if any, damage to that vehicle itself. Statistically speaking, it would appear as though you're almost 10 times more likely to die in a crash involving a military vehicle than other forms of transportation. For these reasons, we urge you to vote ought not to pass on LD2. On behalf of the Department of Public Safety and the Maine State Police, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Lieutenant. I would just ask, you mentioned that government entities like military and law enforcement agencies are exempt, are able to use these vehicles. Do municipal governments count as one of those categories?
Yeah, it says government owned. That's what it would be. Any municipality, states, and the federal government.
If the vehicle is owned by that entity.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Lieutenant. Representative White.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. Well, good morning still.
Good morning, sir.
We did a morning's worth of work. I can call it afternoon, right? So there are other states that register these vehicles. If a vehicle registered from another state comes on the main roadway, prohibit them from operating on our roads?
So the current reciprocity agreement under 109 doesn't allow vehicles to be operated in the state of Maine if they are not equipped to similar resident vehicles. So the answer in that particular case would be they're not allowed be operated in Maine based on that. If they were operating in their own home jurisdiction and they met the requirements of the state of Maine, similar resident vehicles, meaning federal motor vehicle safety standards, EPA pollutant requirements, and NHTSA DOT crash testing, then they would be authorized. So the majority of the vehicles that we're looking at and done research on do not meet those standards. Therefore, when they hit the border, they would have to stop.
So even if they were lawfully registered in another state, if they drive across the line, then they would be pulled over, forced to be towed, or whatever.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Montel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nice to see you. In your testimony, you stated some military vehicles are specifically designed for off-road use only. What about the rest of them?
So the military sets their own specs for the vehicles. They submit them to some types of testing, but none of them, to my knowledge, meet all the federal motor vehicle safety standards other than the civilian style ones. They make like some Blazers and some Humvees that do meet all federal motor vehicle safety standards. But the majority of the ones that we've researched do not meet all of the federal motor vehicle safety standards. And that's what makes those ones illegal. So some can be operated if they're demilitarized military vehicles, and some can't, just depending on how they were built by the original manufacturer.
Thank you. A follow-up, please. Is this based on, like, when we look at, you just made something pop into my head, when we look at the standards for highways, is this the NHTSA standard?
Yeah, so the Federal Motor Vehicle Standard.
Okay.
Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards are the NHTSA standards,
right.
Yes.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions for the Lieutenant? Yes, Senator Nangle.
Thank you. So we hear about, you know, everybody's testified about demilitarized. What would be involved in demilitarizing a vehicle?
Sir, I'm going to look at the language of the bill because it's defined in there. I don't want to misquote that. It says a demilitarized vehicle means an automobile that was built for and used by the United States Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Space Force, or Coast Guard, and has been lawfully purchased by a person for civilian use.
Okay. But we don't have a classification for what demilitarized means. And according to this, you can have a space shuttle. Space Force. Yeah, that's basically my... What do we consider demilitarized? Is it just because they sold it to a person? You know what I mean?
A
civilian?
That would be my interpretation, is that it was something that was used for them. It may or may not have met the standards. And then when they're done its useful life, they sell it to a civilian.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Scott, are you aware, is there a different classification if a vehicle, a military vehicle, is sold to a municipality or a government? Because this says to a person for civilian use.
Yes. So there's already an exemption in statute that allows them to be sold and used by law enforcement agencies, government agencies, both state, local, and federal.
And those would not be considered demilitarized vehicles?
Even if they were demilitarized, meaning they had spent time in the military and they were sold, those are authorized to be operated in a public way because they're operated by the law enforcement agencies and specially trained people to operate them for rescue operations.
Thank you. Representative White.
Thank you for allowing me to speak second time. To follow up on what you just said and what Representative Montel said earlier, I take issue with the specially trained because I know a whole lot of volunteer fire departments that allow people that have absolutely no training other than a driver's license to respond to fires with, you know, especially forest fires with old deuce and a halfs with a tank on the back, even if they don't have a CDL or basic license for driving that vehicle. But back to the point that Representative Montel brought up about the classification of vehicles. When the military buys a vehicle, I'm thinking of the K5 Blazers that were around a few years ago. They were, you know, some of those were exactly what was being produced for the civilian market. However, they were produced under a military contract and they were given a designation as such. They absolutely would have passed the safety standards. However, being produced as that contract vehicle, they didn't classify them as safety standard, going through the safety standards. They had a vehicle just like it that they sold to the civilian market that had a different classification that went through the safety standards. So it's very difficult to use that as our standard when we know that not passing safety standards quite often just means not being subjected to safety standards. So, you know, it's a, we envision, you know, a tank rolling down the road and running over a Hyundai, when many times it's the same little vehicle or same vehicle that was just built under military contract and given a different designation. And part of the reason it didn't go through those standards was to save the taxpayers' monies by producing a fleet of vehicles with a different nomenclature.
Representative White, is there a question? I'll just remind committee members that we will discuss this more thoroughly in our work session, but please, you can answer.
Yes, yes, ma'am. So I'll start with the training component. The Department of Labor does require every fire EMS personnel to get specialized training to operate vehicles. If they're operating any type of emergency vehicle, they have to have that training. So if there's the lights on it and they're using it for special responses and they don't have the training, some people would be interested in hearing about those ones. But I can't comment on everybody. I can just tell you that it's required. And as far as federal motor vehicle safety standards, the real issue that you brought up is we don't have any way of knowing what the manufacturer built and designed. If they build two identical K5 Blazers, which they haven't built since the late 80s, but if they were to do that, they're the ones that self-certify that the vehicle met federal motor vehicle safety standards. We don't have the ability to do that as an agency. We don't have anybody in the state of Maine that's able to do that certification. So when they build those two vehicles, they determine by putting a Mylar sticker on it and claiming and asserting that it meets the standard. If it meets the standard, nobody here is arguing that that shouldn't be operating in a public way. But if it doesn't, or there's no evidence of that, we would have no way to make that determination. So I hope that answers your question.
Any other questions? Thank you for being here. Yes, Representative Montel.
Hey. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you again. Just any more for the work session, if you could just bring any more clarifying. It sounds like this has been kind of vetted, but not completely vetted. I'd like to see 100% transparency on this issue, please. Thank you.
Just for
Representative Montel, could you explain what you mean by that?
Please, thank you.
Absolutely. It sounds like there's some that have been demilitarized that are used, or maybe they haven't been demilitarized. I guess I just want to just, like, I want more specifics. I need lots of, in order to make a decision, I need lots of information. And I know you did answer my question about some military vehicles are designed for off-road use, but some aren't. So I guess I want to not have those questions be quite so ambiguous. It's for me. It's not.
I'm just struggling, Representative, to figure out what you want me to bring. Because my testimony, that's really what we're talking about, is if the manufacturer says it's built for the road, right, we're good with it.
Right.
Because we can put it through an inspection. We know that it met all the standards. But if they don't certify it, then we would have no way to move forward with an inspection. We don't have that baseline. So I'm not sure how to go further other than if the manufacturer says it's good for highway use, then we would all support
it. Unless it's demilitarized, or is it still not follow standard? That's where I'm struggling.
So the demilitarization just means that it went from the U.S. government to somebody else, to a civilian. That's what this
bill Nothing's does. Done to it.
Other than they take the guns off it if it has.
Okay.
So a lot of them are mounted with weapons. And so they would remove the weapons off from them and then sell the hull and what's left of it.
Mm-hmm. You said you're going to bring pictures, is correct?
I can't.
Oh, that's right. All right. Thank you. I didn't mean to belabor this, but I guess I feel like I need more information.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Scott.
You're welcome.
Anyone else here to speak in opposition? Welcome, Secretary Bellows.
I was just researching demilitarized from the military's perspective. I encourage people to do that. But I think Lieutenant Scott had it exactly right. I am, good afternoon or morning, Representative Crafts, distinguished members of the committee. I am Secretary Bellows here providing testimony in opposition to LD2. First and foremost, I'm going to be echoing some of what Lieutenant Scott said. Our mission is roadway safety. That is first and foremost. And historically, Maine has had a philosophy that all vehicles designed for use on Maine roadways must meet the federal motor vehicle safety standards at the time of manufacture, the United States Environmental Protection Agency's pollutant requirements, and the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's crash testing standards. So those are federal standards, not state standards. And this is reflected in current Maine law. You can look at Title 29A, Section 101, Subsection 47-A. And it states which vehicles that do not meet these standards and were not originally manufactured to meet those standards at the time of manufacture are defined as off-road vehicles. Now, this can be confusing because from a layman's term, you might think of off-road vehicles as an ATV, right? Or something that you're using on the railroad tracks. But in Maine statute, in Title 29A, the definition of off-road vehicles is there. And so this includes former military vehicles. Now, those off-road vehicles may be used for municipal purposes, and I think that exception was passed by a prior legislature, probably under the perspective of tight municipal budgets and being able to use these vehicles strictly for certain municipal purposes. But it doesn't allow off-road vehicles to be used on the road by civilians and for other purposes. So our opposition is threefold, and that the first and foremost is safety, that because it wasn't manufactured for on-road use by civilians, then it creates safety hazards. And I do just want to state that means that these vehicles do not have restraint systems or airbags or other occupant protection interior features to prevent serious injury or death, because these are vehicles manufactured for combat situations. Because they're manufactured for combat situations, they have heavier structures that are designed to protect the occupant, but designed to increase the likelihood of death or injury by anyone that's hit by one of those vehicles. Additionally, because they're heavier vehicles, that may cause those vehicles to be unstable, and the damage, if there is a crash from these vehicles, is significant. We also, because we oversee the requirements for insurance, we do have concerns that insurance for these vehicles can be challenging. We should also just note that, you know, Maine's practice of adhering to federal standards creates a framework to make determinations about what is and isn't allowed on Maine roadways that is objective. If you go down the path of carving out exceptions in the statute, then you're going to have bills every year asking Maine to make specific exceptions in the statute for specific types of vehicles. We strongly recommend against that, because having that high-level federal standard with all of the abilities that the Federal Highway Safety Administration can do to make those standards, we simply don't have those resources, we don't think, here in Maine to do those determinations. So because we believe the safety of Maine's road users is paramount to the department, that is why we are respectfully opposing this bill once again.
Thank you, Secretary Bellows. Any questions for the Secretary? Representative Montel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a question. I just appreciate that explanation. That has helped tremendously. Thank you.
I do want to make an apology to the committee. Earlier today, I put a $6 million fiscal, or I said there was a $6 million fiscal note on Representative Perkins' bill. There is not. It is $385,000 for the computer coding. Representative Perry, you were right. I thought I was being so prepared when I grabbed the stack of fiscal notes and I looked at the wrong document. So apologies. I've already clarified it with Representative Perkins in the hall when Deputy Curtis gently said, can you look at that fiscal note again? Which one are you looking at? But we are going to move forward and look at the alternative that might be free of something on the back of the thing. So I don't want that. I don't want you going home thinking that I thought that, I mean, I clearly did, but based on my misstatement. So I really wanted to correct the record before you go home tonight.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to speak in opposition of LD2? Anyone neither for nor against? And anyone online? All right, that closes the public hearing on LD2.